welcome to everybody. My name is Courtney Gallagher, and I'm a registered landscape architect and project manager with Morris and Ritchie Associates. We are the civil engineering and landscape architecture firm that's working with the property owner, Scrivener Family LLC, and the developer, Thomas Scrivener, to develop the subject property. I'm joined with my colleague, Sarah Wallace, who's also with Morris and Ritchie Associates. And tonight we are here specifically to discuss the Parkside Mixed Use Development Phase 5B Parcel, Phase 5B Parcel 5 Preliminary Plan Project. That's not cool. So first, I'm going to go over a couple of housekeeping items. The entire presentation, including the question and answer session at the end, will be recorded in accordance with Anne Arundel County's requirements for community meetings. The recording will be uploaded tomorrow to the county's website for any community members to listen to. If you have not done so already, please provide your contact information on our sign-in sheet so that you can receive a copy of the minutes for tonight's meeting. I will go through a hopefully brief presentation, and then we'll hold question and answers at the end. I ask that you please hold any questions until the end so I can get through all of the required information. This meeting is required per Anne Arundel County Subdivision Code Section 17-2-107, which requires a community meeting be held within 6 months prior to the initial submittal of a preliminary plan or sketch plan. The developer intends to submit a preliminary plan for Phase 5B within the next several months. The purpose of this meeting is to present information regarding the project and to allow the community an opportunity to ask questions and comment. So first, a quick overview. Parkside Phase 5B is located within the Parkside Mixed-Use Subdivision, which is shown here on this map. The Parkside Mixed-Use Subdivision is located on the south side of Maryland Route 175 or Annapolis Road, on the east side of the intersection with Maryland Route 295. For those of us in attendance, the Community Center building is located right here. And Phase 5B is the orange highlighted area on the west side of the Parkside development. Some other landmarks: Max Blobs Park Road is located here just to the west of Phase 5B. And Antietam Road terminates here, just at the east side of Phase 5B. Phase 5B can be found on Tax Map 13, Block 18, part of Parcel 70, and on Parcel 5. The site is zoned MXDR, which is a mixed-use residential zone. Phase 5B encompasses a total of 4.55 acres, and it is a privately proposed project. The project is not located within the critical area or a bog protection area. This site was previously developed with a single-family residential home. That home has been demolished at this time, so the site is currently vacant and undeveloped. Now a little more detail of the site specifically. Phase 5B is outlined here in orange for your reference. There is a stream channel that runs just off the site on the west side that has a 100-foot stream buffer that extends onto the property, and that's shown here. The stream itself has been field delineated, and it is not on the subject property. In addition, there's a floodplain associated with that stream that also is off-site along the west side of the project, which was also field delineated. None of the soils on the site are highly erodible, but there are hydric soils associated with that stream, again, on the west side of the site. There is an existing 20-foot easement, right-of-way, that allows access for these two adjacent properties, access through Parcel 5 to Max Blob Park Road, which is currently their main way in and out of their properties. There are also three existing forest conservation easements, which are shown in gray, that that were established with the overall Parkside Forest Conservation Plan. Those three areas are slated for reforestation, so they're not conservation of existing forest. There's no forest there today. They will be forested in the future. There are some pockets of existing forest on the site to the north and west sides of the site, some of which will be cleared as part of the development, but that clearing has already been approved as part of the overall Parkside Forest Conservation Plan. There are no specimen trees anywhere on the site, and there are no naturally occurring slopes that meet the county's definition of steep slopes. There are no known rare, threatened, or endangered species habitats on the site. There are no wetlands on the site. And there are no historic resources, archaeological sites, or cemeteries on the site. The site is also not located within a proposed or protected greenway. So that concludes sort of the existing conditions explanation. Now I'm going to move over here to talk about the proposed conditions. So the proposal for Phase 5B includes 64 multifamily adult independent units within four apartment buildings that are located here, where I'm pointing on the map. These units will be for sale condominium units. This development is permitted as part of BRAC mixed use. As previously noted, there was an existing structure on site, residential single family home, that has been demolished, but there are still some remnants of that development. There's a driveway here, a driveway connection here that's for those two units, or those two properties, and some fences, a couple of sheds that will all be removed as part of this development. There is no proposed subdivision associated with this project. It's one parcel now. It will remain as one parcel. All four of the apartment buildings, or condominium buildings, excuse me, will have a total of 16 units each. These two apartment buildings here on the west side will be four stories high, so there'll be four units on each level. These other two apartment buildings will be five stories high, with four stories of residential, and then the basement or the ground floor will have 16 garages that will serve the 16 units in the building. Exact elevations for the buildings have not been determined at this time, but the overall building heights will not exceed the allowable building height of 60 feet per the Parkside design guidelines. Access to the site will be provided via a drive aisle that will extend from the terminus of Antietam Road, and it will come into the site and then run down the center of the site here. The access for the two existing off-site properties that currently use Parcel 5 to access Max Blobs Park Road will now be redirected through the site, through that drive aisle, onto Antietam Road and then out into the Parkside development to access 175 and beyond. Parking for the residents and guests of residents in Parcel 5B will access their parking via the main drive aisle that runs to the center of the site. Since access will be one way in and one way out, we've provided a turnaround here that will allow for emergency and delivery vehicles adequate room to make essentially a three-point turn and exit the property. The parking requirements for this project are 1.5 parking spaces per unit. So for the total of 64 units, we are required to provide 96 parking spaces. The total parking provided in this plan is 104 parking spaces, including 48 garage spaces in these two buildings and tandem driveway spaces, and an additional 56 surface parking spaces located here. Sidewalks will be provided throughout the development to provide connectivity between the buildings and from the buildings to the parking and any active recreation open spaces. The open space requirement for the entirety of the Parkside project has already been met. The requirement for the entire project was 61.2 acres, and to date 107 acres of open space have been provided. Additional open space is expected to be provided within this phase. The exact acreage will be determined once final design is complete. 10% of the total site area for this phase, or approximately 19,900 square feet of active rec area, is required to be provided with this phase. This current site plan shows a total of 20,500 square feet of active recreation area located here and here. Stormwater management will be provided for the site in accordance with the overall stormwater requirement for the Parkside development, which dictates how much stormwater is required within each phase of the Parkside development. These requirements were established in accordance with the Anne Arundel County Stormwater Management Design Criteria, which includes environmental site design to the maximum extent practicable. The stormwater facilities, which are located mostly along the west side, sorry, this one's not a stormwater facility, I'll come back to you, and here. The stormwater facilities will be micro stormwater management practices. All of the ones that we have shown here will be micro bioretention facilities, which are essentially small depressions that when we have a rain event, water will flow overland to these facilities. They'll capture that water and allow the water to infiltrate into the ground. Any water that does not infiltrate into the ground will be collected into our storm drain system, which will be piped, which will outfall here at a stilling basin on the in the southwest corner of the site. And all of these facilities will have what we call like micro drainage areas, about a half acre, so around 20,000 square feet. And they are designed so that they will not hold water longer than 24 hours. The anticipated limits of disturbance for this phase totals 3.85 acres. Since this project is proposed to include only adult independent residential units, there's no anticipated impact on any of the local schools. But for your reference, the local schools and their current enrollment status are Mead High School, which is currently open for enrollment, MacArthur Middle School, which is also open for enrollment, and Mead Heights Elementary School, which is currently closed for enrollment. The project will be served by public water and sewer, which will be extended from the southeast corner of the site. Water from Antietam Road and sewer is coming from this adjacent parcel, public sewer, and those services will be extended through the site to each of the buildings. A conceptual utility layout is shown on the plan, but we are still in the process of final design for the utilities. The only anticipated impacts to environmental features include disturbance within the stream buffer to remove some of those features that I spoke about earlier that are essentially remnants of the previously existing residential development that was here. The county has most recently, their most recent stance is that removing existing impervious from a stream buffer does not require a modification. However, it is technically disturbance, and technically disturbance requires a modification, so the county may end up requiring us to submit a modification request, though their current stance is that it's not required, which is a little confusing. In addition, some of those features extend beyond the property line into the floodplain and into the stream. There's a stream crossing towards the north end of the site and another stream crossing towards the southern end of the, or off the southern end of the site. If the developer elects to, or if the county requires us to remove those crossings, we would be required to submit modification requests for disturbance to floodplain and or streams, in addition to potentially the stream buffer. Last modification possibility is regarding this access drive that comes into the site. It is currently designed as essentially a drive aisle through to a parking lot. So no modifications would be required as designed. However, it is an extension off of a public road, and there's a chance that the county might require that we treat it as either a public or a private road, in which case we would need to meet the public road standards. So we would likely submit a modification to deviate from those public road standards so that we could essentially maintain the design as is. And just for reference, almost every project we work on that has either multifamily or townhouse development, we end up submitting a modification for standards because their public road standards are based on providing access to single-family detached homes, which most of townhouse developments and multifamily developments don't meet those requirements. So that concludes my presentation. So if there are any questions or comments, we would love to open it up to the floor.
I get to go first.
Go first. I already have my question.
So just because you ended with the access, just to clarify, right now to get into Parkside, you can either enter Parkside through Vanguard or Parkside Boulevard.
Okay.
Of course, then you have to get to Antietam. So just to put it down into elementary level, it's possible there will be a third entrance. That will be the modification that you're referring to if it has to come off of 175?
No. So this might be easier to see with this diagram. So this is Antietam Road right here.
Mm-hmm.
So our access essentially would, for someone driving down Antietam, would feel like just an extension of that road that would come into the site. So to answer the question of access, still Parkside Boulevard.
Still Parkside.
And is this
Vanguard?
Here. Those would be the two.
Still the two.
Into the Parkside development. The modification is essentially to the road design standards. So the width of the road, the radius of any turns, the horizontal, vertical curve design.
Okay.
There's different requirements that the county has for a road, and essentially this would not.
So there's not going to be a third entrance?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, and then I do believe you also spoke, I just want to confirm, so there's no, I don't want to say historic trees, that's not the right word, but trees that need a bond, there's no beech trees that are 100 years old that are involved in this?
No, so I believe what you're referring to are called specimen trees.
Yes.
So usually those are trees that are over a certain diameter.
Right.
And that depends on the species, what that diameter threshold is. But the short answer is no, there are no specimen trees on this site. So there aren't very many trees on the site in general.
Okay.
So any clearing that we would do, we wouldn't need to pay. The developer would not need to pay any fees.
Bonds and what have you. Okay.
The only thing, though, that will be bonded, so there's the three areas of afforestation or reforestation that I spoke about.
Okay.
It's a little tricky to read probably from far away, but there are three areas that are highlighted or shaded in gray, and those are existing forest conservation easements, which is kind of a misnomer because it makes it sound like we're conserving existing forest there. These, in reality, are areas where we have to add forest.
Right.
So all the plantings that will be proposed within those three easements will need to be bonded by the developer.
And then my last point, even just reading the letter that you had to send out, and it's just a matter of grammar or the right word, you even said apartments. We are not talking about apartments. We are talking about condominiums.
These are condominiums.
So
yes.
Can we change that verbiage? Because apartments leads to a whole different.
Yes.
Just like we're
yes.
not property managers, we're community managers. This is not a rental facility, which
right.
apartments leads to that. So I just wanted to be
yes.
clear that we are not dealing with apartment complexes being installed. We're dealing with condominiums.
That is completely accurate. I appreciate you making that distinction. Yet the choice of words is most people. Don't typically, when they hear the term multifamily, they don't always understand what that means. So realistically, I should have maybe said apartment-style building so that people understand it's a multi-story building with multiple
What's wrong
residents.
With condominiums?
Oh, that's condominium. Some people also, that's not as common a term, but you're correct.
Okay.
Condominium is the 100% accurate term for what we're proposing here on the site today.
Okay, well, I'm good.
follow up with that. So you chose the word apartment. My, I don't know why, but my thought was that it had to be spoken that way if it was a certain type of building, like a multi-family building. I thought, that was just my thought, is that you wrote apartment building because that was required, but you,
well,
are you saying
it was, it's not so much that it was required. I mean, we could have used condominium,
right.
But I guess the term apartment is more, in terms of the architecture of the building,
right.
is more recognizable, I guess, by the community. To the public, exactly. But you're correct. These are not going to be rental units. They're going to be for sale condominium units.
Are the condominiums going to be exact or similar to the ones that we already have, or is that not?
That's these are not separate.
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure. At this point, I don't know that they have selected a builder for the
right.
for the unit, so
okay.
I can't
okay.
speak to the specifics
gotcha.
Of the design.
And I mean, yeah, when we talk about when the conceptual plans all go through and what have you, and let's just say everything went through tomorrow, of course, we know how slow.
Right.
We know everything moves at a glacial pace in this industry.
Right.
But let's just say everything was approved tomorrow, breaking ground once they found the builder to
okay.
build. If they had somebody tomorrow, we're still looking at a year, six months.
Yes, so, I mean, realistically, the process for this piece of land, I mean, we're at the preliminary plan stage, which is the initial plan.
Right. You're
so,
in the conceptual stage.
Yes, exactly. So this plan, we have to first finish the plan, submit it to the county.
Mm-hmm.
The county typical review on a sketch plan is anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Once that's approved, assuming it is approved, we would then go to a site development plan, which is anywhere from 6 months to a year before we get approval. And then we can submit for a grading permit plan, which depending on how quickly the developer would like to move, we do have the opportunity to submit that concurrently with the site development plan. Once we submit the site development plan, we can then submit a grading permit plan, but it won't be approved until the site development plan is approved and then some additional paperwork and things like that. So, I mean, realistically, I mean, best case, you're looking at 18 months, but more realistically.
And I sat on the board for the county for the Ovington Town Center development. I live in Ovington, and I'm part of that. I'm in the core zone.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I got to bring in Brack and discuss all that. And I was on the board of conceptual ideas. So
yeah.
I get that, yeah, everything was a very glacial pace.
Yes.
So I had a question about clarifying, just so I understand, I guess, in the future, about the stream.
Yes.
I can't remember everything you said about the stream.
Sure.
But so there's a stream in the property line there, right?
No, the stream is actually just off the property. It's tricky to
see,
but
buffer.
Yeah, the stream buffer. So all streams in Anne Arundel County, I believe it's ephemeral and perennial streams, you're required to provide a 100-foot buffer to that stream, and development is restricted essentially within that buffer. So even though the stream is not on the subject property, because it exists adjacent to the property, we still have to respect that 100-foot buffer.
Right.
So no, so the proposed development does not extend into the stream buffer. The stream buffer is right here. Yeah, you come on up. The stream buffer is right here on the side.
Oh, so even though this line is here, you're only building here?
Exactly.
Okay, so this will still be uninterrupted.
Essentially, with the exception of the areas where we're going to be removing some existing features that are in the stream buffer today that we're, been there for I don't know how long.
Right, like you said, fences and stuff like that.
There's
sense.
Yep.
And a driveway.
There's a driveway, and then right now this driveway is not being utilized because there's no home there any longer. This driveway, my understanding is that it is being utilized by the residents of these two adjacent properties, and that those two properties are not part of the Parkside mixed use subdivision project.
Oh, these
there.
Are houses that were already there.
Yes.
And so they're the only people that can use this driveway. Are you guys expecting there to be, like, any problems with people trying to come into the condominium that way, or does it not connect them?
Right now it connects to Max Blob's Park Road, but in the future that connection will be removed, and the residents of those two homes will come down to our drive aisle for Phase 5B, and then go out Antietam Road, and then through.
So they will have to come into Parkside Community to get onto their own property.
That's correct. Yes. Right.
Oh wow.
Unless they sell.
Right. If they sell, and you know,
that's where I'm at. My car.
That's where I'm at right now. I'm trying to sell my own property. Same thing. I've been working with Elm Street. Well, I have everything I need.
Do you have any other
Francis questions?
I don't know. I thought there was one more.
Well, you can always call Courtney. You can always give her a call if you have another question.
Yeah. And for the record, so like I said, this recording will be provided to Anne Arundel County. It'll be uploaded to their community meeting website. If you search Anne Arundel County Community Meetings, it'll take you right to the website. You can look for the project, Parkside Phase 5B, and they will, there'll be an opportunity on the website to submit any other questions or comments. The comment period is 14 days from, I think, tomorrow, when we upload the audio recording to them. So at any point during that time, you can submit a formal comment, or you can always, just call me or the developer, Tom Scribner, and,
absolutely.
See if you have any other questions, we can hopefully answer them.
Sounds wonderful. I'm going to help put these chairs away.
Excellent. All right, well, I'm going to formally adjourn the meeting.
Sounds good.
Great. I appreciate everyone coming out tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.